Welcome back to yet another week here at Rabbit Hole Stories, guys. Today we had the co-founder of BTC Prague, Matthias. Come on, Joel, help me out here.
Matthias.
Apologies, Matthias. Mate, it was a great chat because obviously we spoke all about BTC Prague. Obviously, last week we had David on from BTC Magazine. So we had a bit of discussion about the different sort of conferences and what that's all about. Ordinals was discussed as well. A little bit about the fundamentals of Bitcoin. Joel, what did you take away from the episode, pal?
It was a good episode to also showcase different, shall we say, struggles in the ecosystem? Different thinkings, maybe. Matthias was more on the conservative side. Yeah. He also mentioned this. Listeners will maybe realize I'm getting more into my old habits of a former journalist. So I'll ask the stupid questions and the very much like, why do you do the way you do things? But it was great. We had a good insight also into his thinking, what BTC Prague is compared to other conferences, why Czech Bitcoiners are so amazing. That was really the main thing. And a great insight into what people will experience if they actually go to Prague in, can't believe it, 3 months at this point.
Yeah, I know. And if you really want to go and you want a discount, check out the description below because we've managed to wangle ourselves a 10% discount for everybody. So click the link and get yourself a 10% off ticket. Why not, eh? And let's jump into this episode and this rabbit hole story. And as always, guys, stay curious.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode here on Rabbit Hole Stories. And before we introduce our guest, I could safely say the guest today is one of, if not the first, sponsor/partner we have on the show. And it's Matthias from BTC Prague. Because for any of the listeners, check out the coupon code below. You get 10% off to probably the biggest conference in Europe, Matthias. Is that a safe way of introducing you?
Yeah, hello everyone, and thanks for inviting me to your podcast. I really appreciate that. And yes, we are probably the biggest in Europe, and who knows, maybe we will be the biggest in the world soon.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Rabbit Hole Stories. Yeah, no, start a fire, mate. You know, the kindling is there. You've lit the match, and then let's start this fire, right? I mean, look, conferences are a great way of getting the Bitcoin signal out there, right? And the more sort of signal there is, the better, right? And I know that from my own personal experience, from going to BTC Prague, I had a fantastic time there. To be honest, I was pretty much drunk a lot of the nights there. The entertainment was fantastic. I ate too much, I drank too much, and it was a wild time. I loved it every second in it. And even in the conference itself, it was so engaging. There was lots of stages, lots of different niche sort of topics going on all at once. And no testament to you for organizing that event. How much planning goes into this?
Thank you for your kind words. A lot of planning. Actually, we've been organizing events for many years, but this one we started 1.5 years prior to the date. So it was 18 months since we booked the venue. Yeah, so a lot of time, a lot of proof of work, many wow. small steps. And I would say it was a big success for the first edition. And we were now, super lucky.
Before we get into your rabbit hole story, which I'm keen to dive down with you, any sort of sneak sort of things that we can get an idea of what you're planning this year, or is that all under wraps still?
Well, no, we are quite open about what we're planning for this year. And TLDR is that we are in the same venue, again, 4 stages, and we are just polishing everything what we did last year, and we are just making it a little bit bigger and a little bit better.
Something to look forward to for sure. So let's go for your rabbit hole story question. How did you discover it? Bitcoin, that is.
I have 2 stories, probably like everyone else. The first time I didn't get it, that was in 2011, I think. I was a part of the Occupy Wellington movement in New Zealand for a few weeks. I was going there every day. I listened some talks. I was I really like the anarchic part of this whole movement, yeah. And to be honest, guys, with you, they had free food, and I was a very poor backpacker at this time, so there were other incentives as well. But I remember I was going into a tent where people were already talking about Bitcoin, and there was a big Bitcoin logo. And it's very unfortunate I didn't get it, because even in this time I was interested about markets. I was studying economic. It just flew around me. And the second time, it was in 2017, right before the big pump. And it came from few my friends. They were talking about it, and I quickly got the idea that I actually want to learn more about this. And because I was living abroad, I was living in Indonesia, and I had my own business there, and the business was running very smoothly, almost without me. I had to spend only like 2 hours per day on it. So I had an opportunity to really fall down into the rabbit hole and spent most of my days studying and reading, consuming pretty much everything what I found on the internet. And even though I spent so much time, it took me maybe 2 years before I got into the stage which I can call myself a Bitcoin maximalist. So I went through the very classic way of trading, shitcoining, looking for better Bitcoin, thinking that I found it, and then the classic story, I would say.
That's super interesting. So if you don't mind me asking, what business sector was your previous business in? Was it, because New Zealand, Asia, you were traveling already quite a bit.
I always like to travel, and my parents were traveling as well when I was a kid, so probably that's why it's kind of natural for me. And the business was in hospitality. I ran my own hospitality business. I was taking care about tourists in Bali. I had some properties. I was renting them out, taking care about pretty much everything. And just with the snowballing effect, after 5 years, it grew quite big. But unfortunately, with the COVID, everything ended. And there was a time when I really decided that business, which is depending on the permission, is not very good business.
I feel like when I was in Prague last year, because I had, without actually knowing, I know a lot of Czech Bitcoiners, but if it's a Bitcoiner, you don't care where they're coming from. Maybe only if you plan on visiting your Bitcoin friends in real life. So you have to book flights and travel and things. But when I was at the conference, I was like, okay, these guys, you and your brother, they for sure know how to throw a conference, because, it was very much organized. I had the luxury of getting a more expensive ticket to the upstage area and stuff. So I was able to scoop that at a very good price back then. And it was just overall very familiar. And this leads a bit into my question. You mentioned that there were other events you previously organized, and your path into Bitcoin obviously is a, let's call it a more current one. Most people do whatever you went through as well. But what was the final moment or decision in the end where you went we just have to do a conference, and we have to do it at the scale you guys did it? Because I bet there's also quite a lot of risk involved, choosing that big of a venue, and especially getting the big names in, which we'll go into in a second step. So what was that decisive moment for you to make the conference happen?
The moment happened in early 2019, or in summer 2019, when I get back from Indonesia for summer to see my family. And I spoke with my brother Martin. He used to work in e-commerce, and he was visiting many other conferences from technical fields. So he had this experience from the classic conferences. I had my experience from hospitality. I used to work in hotels before, so I knew how to organize stuff, but not at this scale, of course. And I was already on one crypto conference back then, and I saw how cool is it. This conference was a disaster, but I saw the opportunity. And in Czech, there was nothing like that. There were just some meetups in Prague, in Paronipolis, but other than that, pretty zero. So we said to ourselves, let's organize something. I will be still in Bali, so Martin, you will be the one who will organize who will take care about the first one, and then I will slowly join you, and we can work together. But then the COVID hits, so the first one we were planning on March 2020, but because the COVID, we had to postpone it to the unknown date. And actually, and I don't know how about in your countries, but in Czech it was pretty bad, and you didn't know what to do, and there were just like restrictions. Okay, since tomorrow midnight you cannot meet anyone, you know, it was just like impossible to plan. But even though this crazy times, my brother was able to throw this first conference in September 2020 and fill it with 500 people. So that was the first year. I managed to come right after this conference, so because it was hard to get back home from Indonesia, but I managed it, and we start working on the second conference. We double it, so it was 1,000 people. The third conference was in different venue. We knew that we want to grow because the demand was just crazy. So the third conference in 2022 was 2,000 people already. And that was the moment when we decided that we want to really grow. We started regular meetups, and we came up with the idea that we will do one more conference, which will be in Prague, BTC Prague, because the previous one was in Ostrava, in our city. And we just don't have that big venue here. So, and also we didn't want to mix international audience and English speakers with Czech and Slovak, because we didn't want to jeopardize the very cool and friendly vibe we created here in Ostrava. It's more like a Czech and Slovak OG gathering. So we decided that we will organize two events per year. One in September, that's Chain Camp, and one in June, and that's BTC Prague. So did I answer your question, Joel?
Yeah, totally, totally. So you basically went from, if I check my notes, a few hundred people to a few thousand in a span of like 3 years? Two years more, probably?
No, it's like 3 years. BTC Prague was our fifth event. And we had 6,500 people there.
Nice, nice. And for anyone that missed it, it was really, I mean, obviously it was in June. June in Prague is pretty much, you know, nice weather. If I remember correctly, one day it rained, but it didn't really bother too many people, because you really had a great mix between a brilliant stage, the main stage. You had a open source stage where a pitch contest happened. You had the merchant hall, which was really a hall. It wasn't just a couple of booths. It was huge. And you also had an outdoor area where you could obviously pay in sats. And you also had a local stage, which I loved, Matthias, and we'll get into the Czech part soon. But I have to use the opportunity that now that we have you at the podcast, we had last week David Bailey on, and he'll actually be the episode out before you. So this wasn't planned. This was purely on coincidence. And I like that episode because there was a lot of explanation from his end as well, you know, like why they decide certain things, and we'll get into these topics as well. And he also said he knows that there's a couple of conferences happening in the eco space that challenge Bitcoin Magazine. He mainly named you guys, and he also had the highest praise. So he was praising you, especially for organizing it to such details. He maybe did the American thing of saying like, they kind of took on the same points as we do with like a big stage and other stuff. I kind of went like, okay, fair game. You guys did it first. But, you know, a conference is a conference at the end of the day. It's pretty much given, right? How do you feel about this? I'm not gonna like go into a fight between you guys, but I'm interested. Do you look at BTC Mac as a comparison? Do you try to do certain things better in a European voice? Or how do you go on about these comparisons? Because we know the BTC Mac conferences are very much commercialized. They maybe have a different goal than others. Or how do you guys go about this?
I wouldn't say that we really look up to Bitcoin Magazine conferences. When we started, we didn't even think about Bitcoin Magazine in 2020. We are doing conferences for our community. Yeah, we are traveling a lot. We are visiting many different states and communities. So we are doing our research, and then we decide what is the best what should be the conference like. And we do conferences for hardcore Bitcoiners, for hardcore Bitcoin community, and it's just a natural evolution of what we are. Yeah, we were organizing in 2020 conference, and we were not so deep into this rabbit hole, so the conference was different. And every year is different, and every year we are thinking very deeply about what the conference should look like and what goals we want to meet with this conference. And BTC Prague is just gathering of plebs, and help. And our biggest goal is help Bitcoin ecosystem grow and make sure that everyone is safe. So we are very conservative, and that's probably the biggest difference between us and Bitcoin Magazine.
Yeah, because we've had this discussion here on this podcast, not with conferences, but the question, are there too many Bitcoin podcasts? And one Bitcoin podcast is another Bitcoin podcast is another Bitcoin. But ultimately, we're doing our own thing. A podcast is a podcast. Yes, we're talking about Bitcoin. A conference is a conference. Yes, it's a Bitcoin conference. But really, you're trying to put your own vision or your own community in mind when you're hosting these events, or your audience, or the people you want to attract to your conference or your podcast, right? Would you say that's the same kind of thing?
Yeah. You summarize it pretty well. And with conferences, it's, I don't want to say it's harder, but the scale is much bigger, and it's not so easy to start, I would say. So there are some things which comes to play when you have big conference as Bitcoin Magazine, and sometimes I can imagine there must be some hard decision to be made.
I want to talk about the Czech Bitcoin community, because it seems so strong. And I saw your picture on Twitter yesterday, I think it was, of the meetup. And yeah. Wow, what a turnout that was. Why is the Czech Bitcoin community so strong?
I would say that it's a snowballing effect. It took a lot of time to create such a big community. And to give you some context to that, it's like Czechs are quite natural for Bitcoin, because we were under the oppression, living under the communism regime for a very long time. And I'm the first generation to be born in democracy, in free market. So I am very eager to build, because my father was very eager to build after the wall has fallen. Yeah. So this is the first thing why we have open eyes for this. And we love really the freedom part of the movement. And that's maybe a special, if I compare it to other communities all over the world. To be more precise, why is the community so big? I would say that it's because we have these companies in Czech Satoshi Labs with Trezor. Since 2010, there are guys like Karel Kioski, who is owner of the biggest ATM manufacturer, Bitcoin ATM manufacturer in the world, General Bytes. And people like Stick and Slash, yeah, the inventors of Trezor and BIP39, we all using BIP39 seed phrase, yeah, it was invented in Prague. Or Slashpool, now operated by Brains, mined more than 1 million Bitcoin and operating since today. And Brains, the company behind Brainspool, are also from Prague. Yeah? So there are so many important parts of the ecosystem, Bitcoin focused, in Prague since the very early days. So you can imagine, like, yeah, that's the snowballing effect. What I'm talking about, like, people just had enough time to really understand, and you must know it as well that it takes time. And just to give maybe you and your listeners idea how big is the community, we have some estimates because our biggest Bitcoin only YouTuber Kitsom, Bitcoinovej kanal, has almost 100,000 followers. That's quite a lot, considering that Czech Republic has only 10 million inhabitants. And that's a very conservative estimation, I would say. The number of Bitcoin user or crypto users are nearly 500,000.
So 5% of your population is... let's just call it Bitcoiners. Let's throw it, because even if they're crypto users, they don't know yet that they're Bitcoiners. We all know this. That's quite strong. That's a strong signal. And I also know the guys from Vexel, Grafton in particular. I know he's American, but he went like, bro, I live in Prague now forever, or in the Czech Republic for a long time now, so I identify as Czech at this point. And he also explained to me how you basically also have providers that bring in Bitcoin to everyday life. For example, that one payment provider where that allows to pay with Bitcoin in pubs and bars, if I'm not mistaken, in Czech, which is just there. It's on the table. You don't have to use it, but, you know, it's slowly creeping its way into society as well. And this is really what I took away from the conference. I was like, holy shit. It's not just Brain, Satoshi Labs, these companies, but the Czech people, they're almost made for Bitcoin. And that's what made me bullish at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true. We have, you can buy pretty much anything in Czech for Bitcoin. You can pay online in the biggest retailer, Alza. So anything from toys to electronics, pretty much anything for your home. You can pay in Bitcoin and Lightning already for a few years. I don't know, maybe 5 years. And you mentioned the restaurant stuff. Yeah, there is a service. It's called Kverko. And it's probably in more than 1,000 pubs. And maybe I'm just mistaken. Maybe it's 10,000 pubs in Czech Republic. I'm not pretty sure, but it's a few thousand pubs in Czech Republic. I was paying it just a few days ago. And then a few days before, it works. And it's just because one of their lead developers is Bitcoiner. And he spent some time and Orange built the company and came up with the solution. And yeah, now it's working. It's pretty cool.
That's very, very cool. It almost, I need to get myself to Prague ASAP and buy some copious amounts of beer with Bitcoin. That'd be fantastic. One thing I did want to ask you is what your kind of Bitcoin philosophy is like, really, because obviously in the ecosystem we got a lot of different people with different ideas about what Bitcoin is, and I just wanted to get a bit more of an idea about who you are as a Bitcoiner, in the sense that, are you a purist or are you for building on top of Bitcoin, and where does that limit come for you?
Okay, I know where, I was not sure where this question aims, but I think I know what you mean. Okay, I'm a I'm a financial maximalist. I believe that Bitcoin is money, and that's it. But it's a scale, and you know, like the market needs to show what Bitcoin really is, and it can be something for me, and it can really work as something else for you. But still, I believe that it was made by Satoshi Nakamoto as a peer-to-peer electronic cash. And I think it was also made by cypherpunks. Yeah, that's the history. And these people were thinking about electronic cash, and it was a holy grail for them. So I just respect this legacy. And if it's only this, I think that it would change everything, and it would make a world better place. And these other things we can do with other tools, and we don't need to pollute Bitcoin blockchain with everything what comes to our mind.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, and I'm with you on that one. You know, because obviously, if you read the title of the white paper, right, Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. And that really sort of underlines the intention of, as to what Bitcoin is. And there's lots of discussions about the scalability of Bitcoin, whether it could be a global currency. Recently, you saw Saylor talking with CNBC about his views on it being a store of value. And that even, I think he said, it being a medium of exchange is a distraction. So you've got all these different voices with different ideas. And sometimes I agree with you. Obviously, Bitcoin is whatever it is that you want it to be. You know, and I'm kind of, yes, it's money. But what do you think about the big voices out there like Saylor, who tend to direct the adoption of Bitcoin to their vision? Is that a big enough question? I don't know. Can you understand what I'm asking? Really, essentially, is what I'm saying is what I'm concerned about personally is the voices that are big and who have a huge following, like Saylor, that can sort of direct our sort of mindset as to what Bitcoin is and what it can be.
Well, if I think that no one has a big enough voice to really like do some bad to Bitcoin. And I would say that Michael Saylor really did a lot of good, like net good to Bitcoin. Yeah, like he inspires many people. And even though I don't really fully agree with everything what he is saying, I fully respect him for what he's doing. Yeah, and you need some balls to do the things what he has done. So thumbs up. Is it enough answer for you, Ian?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
I think it's also everything is a spectrum. We as Bitcoiners know this because a lot of us live off the spectrum. Little pun against the community. But no, generally, big plus to BTC Prague. I think Saylor's second speech on the second day, where he, you know, showed the graphs and where he basically walked
that was
on stage.
Iconic speech.
Yeah, when he walked on stage like an old grumpy guy, and he was like, "Oh, where do I need to exit? Oh, there, okay." But the speech was phenomenal because for the first time, I think ever, it wasn't just Saylor in front of a microphone saying why it's going up forever, Laura. He actually gave numbers as to his thinking behind why he chose Bitcoin. And I think this is the key takeaways we have to take and use to everyone's understanding of Bitcoin. But then you also have things like ordinals, for example. And I want to get into this with you, Matthias, because I think this is the reason we actually connected to do the recording at the end. Because I put out the video over a month ago, I think, at this point, where I talked about Bitcoin being good enough as it is now as a store of value, medium of exchange, whatever you want to guys call it, a financial tool. But I think we could shape it more by, using culture. I think I make the example of the ordinals. I personally I don't give a shit about art on the blockchain. I'm strongly against the whole scamming that's been taking place. But it's an interesting thought experiment to go, okay, we can use the censorship resistance in Bitcoin to different degrees. I then also made the example of you can inscribe information. Look at what the WikiLeaks project has been, where you inscribe the warlocks onto the most immutable ledger in the world, which is Bitcoin, and the only one that really makes sense, in my opinion. But how do you feel about this whole ordinals thing? Is it good? Is it bad for Bitcoin? Or is it just one of those things where the market will decide?
Yeah, good question. I'm not that technical to really make my own judgment, like to really go deep and really like cross-check all these arguments from both sides. But because I know this about myself, I tend to follow other people who I trust. And I think that if you put these people on two camps, you can really quickly decide that ordinals are net bad for Bitcoin. And there are three arguments, which are from the technical point of view. And I would add maybe one more from the more cultural point of view. So you said something about inscribing data on the blockchain. Yeah. And I already mentioned it. I think that the Bitcoin blockchain, or let's say time chain now, it's really for financial transaction. If we start inscribing shit on Bitcoin blockchain, we will quickly realize that we are running out and we are just putting so much useless shit on blockchain. And there are different technologies which will be there for WikiLeaks. The other thing is that ordinals and inscriptions are kind of bad for privacy. Bitcoin blockchain is not private, and we are just adding another heuristics, which are helping chain analysis firms to follow us even more. So that's bad. And the last thing, I would say that it also changes the incentive of miners, because it brings the opportunity to miners to do out-of-band deals, because these ordinals, firms who want to like really mine the whole block, they wouldn't get this block if they pay the fees regularly. So they go around and they are doing these deals with these miners, and this doesn't reflect, it doesn't reflect the fee market of Bitcoin. So it's actually bad for mining. And that means it's bad for Bitcoin security. So these are like very like I would say justifiable reasons why I think ordinals and inscriptions are not good for Bitcoin. And you mentioned scams, and there is a lot of scams coming with this wave, and this will just and I hope it will not happen. Yeah, and if the whole ordinals and inscription will turn out good for Bitcoin, I will really be happy to tell that I was wrong, and I will maybe even apologize and put an egg on my head. But I really believe that it will be a lot of mess. Many people will lose their money. They will be buying stupid cat pictures, and it's gonna be a bad PR for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff in there. So from my understanding, technically, and I'm not too bad technically, I would say, I agree that it shifts the incentives of the miners to an extent. But then again, you know, I'm thinking immediately of the, what's it called? The announcement by Mempool last year at BTC Miami, where they went like, oh, you know, you have this marketplace now where you can basically go outside of the spectrum. And this obviously invites the example you gave, but it also invites the example we now see with the layer two scams, I'm going to call it, because there are legit projects that are trying to be a layer two on Bitcoin. You know, think of stuff like Liquid, for example, where, yeah, you can also do tokenized things, but you're using Bitcoin infrastructure. We obviously have the Lightning Network. We have stuff where you then combine these two networks with each other. So the, is it called the Bolt Exchange, I think, where you can swap in and out of Liquid to Lightning and then to on-chain. But you then unfortunately also will have opportunists that come in and trying to abuse these things. I look at it as ordinals as a positive in one aspect, where I go, it highlights these bad incentives. And we all know that Bitcoin has survived, in my opinion, far worse. I mean, think of the block size wars and stuff. And if we can use ordinals as a tool to highlight, hey, it's actually not good if, you know, centralized entities can do these off-chain marketplaces or off-chain solution, we need to come up with better things. I think that's a net positive at the end of the day. Would you agree, or would you say no, ordinals is actually a result out of this? I think it highlights what is negative. Obviously, it brings a lot of negatives, but it for sure has shown, this Bitcoin community, it's more diverse than what we thought about it is, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to the fundamentals, which can be drawn from the white paper.
Yeah, well, I don't really know how it's gonna end up. And of course, you need to burn yourself to learn. So everything is a learning experience. So this will be learning experience as well. But if you watch the last, I don't think it was invented for good, and it's not used for good. Yeah. So that's why I really don't like it, and I cannot push anyone to just stand on my side. Everyone should decide for themselves, and I can really just say that we don't want to like really be promoting it, because we don't feel comfortable in like ethically to do this stuff, even though there might be some part which is good. But again, if in 2 years it will show up as a good thing, we might change our opinion, and at BTC Prague you might find more more stuff around this topic. And if there will be some art ever at BTC Prague, it's gonna be only the good art. No cat pictures, no pixelated faces, none of this bullshit.
Brilliant. You often hear in the space, we're still early. And with that, it makes me think, you know, obviously the more people that are coming on into the Bitcoin ecosystem, the more ideas that are flooding in. And I'm wondering whether they're, wondering what you think with this question is, should we be remaining quite conservative with our mindset with Bitcoin and stick to like the fundamentals of it? Or should we sort of start expanding, being more open-minded and explore as many different things as possible at this stage of Bitcoin's adoption?
Mm-hmm. Hard question. I'm not the one who should be deciding this. I think the decision is on Bitcoin Core, really the devs. If you read Blockchain Wars, you clearly know that it's good to be conservative. And where would we be if there wouldn't be people like Peter Todd and Adam Beck and other countless very strong voices who were considered not so strong, but on the end they won this fight, and they were considered the most conservative people at this stage. So yes, to answer your question, I think that we should be conservative.
I don't know if this is, Ian, this is actually something you and I often speak about off camera or apart from recordings, where this is it. This is where it's good that we have this common sense that we all agree. We have our difference of opinions, different, you know, political beliefs, backgrounds. I think we could even go on down the whole, you know, communism and Bitcoin part, as you mentioned it previously with the Czech breaking free from probably the most idiotic system in the world, which is communism and socialism. But yet we all sit down to go like, yeah, I get your point because you're a Bitcoiner, or you understand that we have this common knowledge and this is really what it's all about, right? And we want to prove this a bit, Matthias, at the end of each of our shows. This is the only thing I didn't tell you before we got on. We end every episode with the All Roads Lead Back to Bitcoin challenge. And it's very simple. We'll give you a word or an association, and you have to come up with a way to prove that everything leads back to Bitcoin. Absolutely worst case, if nothing comes to mind, you could always say, like, you could buy this with Bitcoin, or Bitcoin will fix this, whatever. But are you ready for your word today?
I hope so. Let's try.
Nice, nice. And it's a bit of a regard to before we hit record with my joke I made. How does being a cook or a chef lead back to Bitcoin?
Okay, that should be easy. It's a proof of work. You need to learn to cook. Most of the people are not cooks or chefs when they born. You need to really spend time cooking, trying different recipes. Some people are more natural for cooking because they develop better taste. And some of them, they would never cook even eggs, you know. So I would say that cooking is also a very healthy practice. So if you cook every day for yourself and for your family, the family is healthy. And if you stack sats every day, if you DCA, the financial situation of your family is very healthy. So I would say that this was an easy and fun exercise.
There you go. And we're still proving that all roads do in fact lead back to Bitcoin. Thank you so much for joining us here at Rabbit Hole Stories. And for our followers and our listeners, thank you again also for following us and for your finite time here at Rabbit Hole Stories. And if anyone's thinking about going to Prague, check the description below because there will be a link there for 10% off for your tickets. If you're an audio listener and you're just curious, it's RHSPod at checkout and you'll get a lovely 10% discount off of BTC Prague tickets. So thank you very much. And before we end the show, where can people find you on the socials?
Okay, so thank you for the really great talk, guys. I really appreciate it, and best luck with your podcast to the future. I think exciting times are in front of us. And for the listeners, you can find me on Twitter. It's Matthias44Cook or at Noster. I don't remember my NPAP, but you will find me if you write my name. And be sure to check out btcprague.com. And just to, if you want some extra discount, pay with Bitcoin because we are giving another 5% for Bitcoin payments.
Perfect. Again, thank you so much, guys, and stay curious.